Interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails, coming up right after Johnny Holiday Sports.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Trumbull for Johnny Holiday, reporting on sports. Well, it's college hoops on a serious note today with a host of tournaments and a lot of NCAA postseason slots on the line. In the Big East tournament, Syracuse bested Boston College 67-53. Now Bruce Morton has the latest on the game between Georgetown and Seton Hall.
Seton Hall, in quest of its initial Big East tournament quarterfinal win, leads Georgetown 58-52 with 3 minutes to go. The Hall was up 43-29 with 18:41 left, but had trouble handling the Hoyas' relentless backcourt pressure as Georgetown ran off 12 in a row over the next 3:10. 8 of those points from hot shooting guard Charles Smith. Smith is game high with 20. The Hall, however, has regained the upper hand, leading with 3 minutes to go, 58-52.
In the ACC, North Carolina took Wake Forest 83-62, and then there was a shocker, as we hear from Tony Rigsby.
The Terrapins have probably assured themselves of an NCAA tournament bid with their 84-67 upset this afternoon of nationally ranked Georgia Tech. Keith Gatlin led the way for the Terrapins with 25 points, including 6 from the three-point line. Derek Lewis added 15 for the Terrapins. The final in Greensboro, Maryland 84, Georgia Tech 67.
LSU has beaten Vanderbilt 87-80, Arkansas over Texas A&M 76-64, Missouri downed Iowa State 90-80, and at halftime, Oklahoma leads Colorado by a 53-36 score. It was no great surprise when Weber State fired head coach Larry Farmer today. The team had a 9-21 record this year. Not a lot better last year. They went 7-22 last season. California Angels manager Gene Mauch has left spring camp and returned to his home for health reasons, but the team announcement was not specific. The 62-year-old Mauch has not felt well for some time. He'll undergo observation in a Los Angeles hospital next week. And Green Bay Packers executive vice president Tom Brotz is out of the hospital today. He had a heart attack last weekend. He said it was a fluke and felt like heartburn. L.A. Kings center Bernie Nichols has drawn a 5-game suspension from National Hockey League president Brian O'Neill. The league official said Nichols deliberately swung his stick at a player in a game against Hartford this week. O'Neill said Nichols admitted it was retaliation for an earlier run-in with Ulf Samuelson, the target of the latest incident. For the ABC Information Network and for Johnny Holiday, I'm Maury Trumbull.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Adana, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. I'll be here with you on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where you can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska, or perhaps talk to our special guests. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. I've I've often said, folks, when you think about jewelry, you think about quality and, of course, that aesthetic style of beauty. And when you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer a full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot, and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystals that sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for that special gift that will long be remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, Larson's is more than a jewelry store, folks. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's Can, located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. Got a great show for you today, folks, and a great guest. Sitting with me here in the studio is Tom Snapp, who many of you know. And we're going to talk to Tom in great detail in just a few minutes. But before we launch into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And that, of course, is our Frontier Quiz. The first person to call us at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question. We'll win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. Now listen, folks. Listen carefully. We have a great sponsor here on Alaska Gold Trails, and I want to give you their phone number. It's 451-8612. The first person to call and tell us who they are, where they are located, and what they do will win dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. Their phone number over there, once again, our mystery sponsor, 451-8612. The number here to call after you gather that information is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And we already have a line lit up. Let's see what we have here. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. You're on the air. Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, that was 451-8612.
That's 451-8612.
Is that Arctic Springs?
That's Arctic Springs.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Aha. Uh-huh. Two more parts, my friend.
Uh-oh. Where are they at?
Where are they at?
They're in Alaska.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
And what's the other part of it?
The other part is where in Alaska?
Uh-oh.
Got a good idea. Call them up and find out.
I'd say North Pole. I don't know.
Okay. Nice try. Thanks for the call. Hello, you're on the air. You have an answer for our quiz?
Yes, on Van Horn Road.
Not quite. Close, but not quite.
Okay.
And who are they?
Excuse me?
Who were they?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Who is the sponsor?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
Well, so far, we're batting zero. So anybody that can give me the answer to the mystery sponsor at 451-8612, where they are, and what they do, Their number, once again, is 451-8612. And while we're waiting for a phone call, I want to take a moment to talk about Tip Top Chevrolet. And there's some strange things going on over there. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet, you know, he may seem like an easygoing guy, but when he saw the all-new 1988 Chevrolet pickups, he really went overboard. He couldn't stop himself from stocking up on so many models. He's positive that if you can't find exactly what you want in a truck at Tip Top, it just doesn't exist. Why did a normally sane fellow go so out of control? Well, you'll just have to take a look at the new 1988 full-size pickups at Tip Top and see for yourself. Maybe it was, I don't know, I thought Robbie was kind of different all these years. He's always stocked up on a lot of trucks, but I guess there were a lot of new things that occurred and engineering that developed the Chevrolet truck into a much more high-tech model this year. He's got a computer-engineered efficiency for all types of payloads. How about this? A large, easy-access doors, 8-layer finish, all-welded box, or the big, comfortable cab. And they go on to indicate that they have a new extended cab pickup now, which indicates that, of course, it has a back seat in it and will accommodate 6 people. In addition, you'll like the four-wheel drive. Robbie's got the 4x4 Chevy with shift-on-the-fly power to all four wheels instantly. But as much as Robbie loves all his new Chevrolet pickups, he just can't use them all himself. So he's doing the only sane thing. He's selling them to anyone who can come up with an offer that can stand up to the light of day. So come in today to Tip Top Chevrolet and see all the models Robbie has to show you, from the economical Cheyenne to the bold new Scottsdale and the top of the line, of course, the Silverado, plus many more. Pick your pickup and chassis cab to suit your personal needs. You won't find a better selection anywhere than you'll find at Tip Top Chevrolet. You'll see for yourself what got Robbie so excited when you look at the wide variety of all-new 1988 Chevrolet pickups. Stop by Tip Top Chevrolet today for the best deals on the best new pickups around. That's Tip Top Chevrolet at 1916 Cushman. Their phone number over there is 452-8211. That's 452-8211. And by the way, don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. And now, folks, we seem to have all our phone lines lit up. Let's try this one. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, is your mystery sponsor Arctic Springs?
It's Arctic Springs. Where are they located?
On Alta Way.
On Alta Way, you got it. And what do they do over there at Arctic Springs?
They fix springs.
They fix springs. Anything else that you can tell us about Arctic Springs?
Well, I know he's a real nice man. His name's Bob Johnson.
Oh, well, you really got a lot of information from him over there, did you? Or did you know them before?
I knew him.
Oh,
I didn't know who it was until I called.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Well, thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
And I would like it if you'd stop up here and pick up your certificate, because you've just won a dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And,
okay.
And what is your name?
Katie Ralston.
Katie Ralston. Okay, mm-hmm. Katie, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's Arctic Springs on Alta Way, and they custom make springs, re-arc springs, and do any spring work you need. They work on motorhomes, campers, and everything else.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's your name?
Frank Boddicker.
Frank, Katie beat you in there by a phone call. However, if you want to stop over to Alaskan Prospectors, and how do you spell your last name, Frank?
Boddicker.
You want to stop at Alaska Prospectors at 504 College Road, they'll have a silver ingot sitting there for you, a 1 ounce, 1 troy ounce silver ingot.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, have you got me answer to Arctic Spring yet?
Yeah, I've got an answer. What did you find out?
Oh, well, it's at 285 Alta Way, and they make springs for automobiles and trucks, motorhomes, and they do all kinds of different other things, too.
Well, you certainly have a lot of information from them. Tell me, did you give them a call over there?
No, I didn't.
You
I looked it in the telephone book.
Well,
I figured with the spring it had to be in the Yellow Pages, so I looked under spring and I found it.
Very good sleuthing. By the way, we had two people ahead of you. How about stopping over to Alaskan Prospectors and picking up a piece of Alaska plaster gold there?
Okay.
What is your name?
Pat Wells.
Pat, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, we got the answer to our question. Arctic Springs on Alta Way, and they make leaf springs. Well, today, as I told you earlier, our guest is Tom Snapp, and I want to welcome Tom Snapp to Alaska Gold Trails. How are you today, Tom?
Thank you. You're fine.
Tom, when did you come to Alaska, and what made you decide to come to Alaska?
Well, really, I came to Alaska in 1960 to visit my sister, who was living here.
And did you just get on a plane and fly up here in 1960, or?
No, not really. I was going to the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of Missouri, and I had a whole summer that I was going to have to go somewhere, and I had been going back home to Virginia for a long time, so I wanted to go somewhere different. And my sister had invited me to come for some time to visit her up here, but I had sort of negative connotations about Alaska. And at that time, the plane ticket, I've forgotten how much it was, but I thought that's quite a lot, quite a huge plane ticket, so I didn't come. And so right about the end of my semester, well, she sent me a round trip ticket, and she said I could come for 1 week or 2 weeks or all summer. So I thought, well, I can't beat that. If I didn't like it, I could always hit the next Pan Am flight and fly back. So I came, and I was pleasantly surprised because it was quite different from what I'd imagined it to be, and instead of not liking it, I liked it very much. So I've stayed all these number of years.
And what did you do when you came over? You were in journalism.
Yes, I was in journalism, and I was I stayed with my sister here. I was wanting to get into to talk to people, but it was in June and people were real busy. And I'd go out trying to talk to people, and they seemed not to have too much time to talk like we do in a leisurely way back in Virginia. So I told my sister, well, I'm going to have to get some kind of a job, and I applied at the employment office. Well, first I applied, I think, at the Daily News Miner, and they didn't have any openings. Then I applied at the employment office, and they wanted to send me to Clear. They were building the Clear Bemuse site then. And when I started investigating, I was going to have to work real long hours, like 58 hours a week. So I didn't go there. Finally, we saw an ad in the paper for enumerators for the city directory. And that was right up my alley because I was just itching to go in and talk to people in their homes and whatnot. And so with the city directory, you filled out these little cards. That's all you did. And you just went from home to home. Well, my sister didn't want me to do it. She said, oh, they just pay the minimum wage. I said, well, the money's not the important thing. It's what I'm wanting to do. And so I said, at least I'll have enough to buy my lunch. And she said, well, what about all that walking? She says, there's a lot of walking on that job. And I says, well, can I borrow your vehicle? And so she said, yes. So I borrowed her station wagon. I'd take her to work in the morning, and then I'd go after her at night. And that city directory thing really got me into Alaska and Fairbanks. It was some of the things I ran into, it was out of this world. And sometimes I'd run into go into a house where they'd be having a party, and they were so intoxicated they couldn't even give me the name and address, you know, for the little card. And I found that Alaska Homes, well, I'd be looking for a number and the house would be missing, and I'd say, well, where's this house number? And they'd say, oh, that was moved over to so-and-so street. So pretty soon I found out these houses were moved around like checkers. And I'd look for houses, and there'd be basements, just like holes in the ground, because the people would have built a basement with the idea that later they would add the upper stories. But somehow they never got the money ahead, and so they were living in basements. I found a lot of people living in basements. One house, one cabin, I chased almost all one afternoon trying to find it, and I finally found it. Guess where?
I have no idea. Case of the moving cabin.
On top of the city dump.
What?
It was a little cabin, and it had been moved from one house, one owner to the other, and finally been donated to the Girl Scouts. And then
I see. Nobody lived there anymore.
Nobody lived there, and when they got through with it, they had discarded it, and I'd been chasing that house all over town. Well, anyway, all these incidents, learning how to avoid from being bitten by dogs, because I got bitten about three or four times. I had to learn how to have a magazine rolled up and beat off the dogs and go next door and call and have the people to tie up their dogs and whatnot. Well, anyway, all these incidences with this job was just getting me more and more interested in, and also the fact that Fairbanks...
Excuse me, Tom. I just got to know. How could you get more and more interested in this job with all those dogs biting you? I'm amazed that you would want to continue on with this line of work with the number of attacks that you were having.
Well, it wasn't the work, not particularly the work. The work was just sort of an excuse to get in and to talk to. I was talking to numerous people that and they were very interesting in all different walks of life. And the fact that Fairbanks had a frontier flavor about it. You know, like when I first came into Fairbanks, I was just amazed. The dust was flying. I said, well, this city been here since the gold rush, and it still haven't paved the streets. Noble Street, for instance, was real potholy. And I'd landed at Olson, and they'd brought me into Travelers Inn. And the bus went around behind back there, I think it's that Clay Street or whatever, that street behind. And the dust was just a flying, you know. Well, it was things like that I think that I had been reporting in Virginia and Florida, Missouri, and those states, you know, they're developed and whatnot. They're all sort of about the same. And here, this was just such an unusual, different community.
You saw a lot of things to report on in Fairbanks, Alaska then, Tom.
Oh, yes. And while I was going around with this job at the city directory, I ran into Mr. Cliff Cernick, who was the editor of the Newsminer, and I went in, and when he found out that I was in journalism, and I found out he was editor of the Newsminer, well, he invited me in for coffee and cookies, and he showed me the new books. He had written some children's books, and before you knew it, well, he was asking me if I would be able to come to the Newsminer to fill in, that he was expecting that one of his reporters was going to be leaving soon, taking a job with the Honolulu Star Bulletin.
Was that in 1960, Tom?
Yes, that was, it was just maybe 3 weeks after. I'd just been doing that city directory job 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if he thought that this Jim Levesque was going to be leaving in about a month or so. But then, amazingly, the next week he called, and he was leaving earlier than expected, and he asked if I would come and fill in, and I said yes. And
Tom, I think you got a call here.
All right.
Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. You have a question for Tom?
I sure do. I would like Tom to explain, if he could, what seems to be the prevailing attitude in the state, and I've heard it expressed here in the borough, too. Big mining companies are okay, but I don't see much support for the family operation. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Well, for a number of years, the way I see it is that a number of the federal agencies and state agencies too, the state departments, they would like to get rid of mining. In fact, I had some fish and game people tell me that they'd like all the small miners wiped off the countryside. They said that they were polluters, that they attracted bears, that their garbage and stuff attracted bears, and that that they thought that would be much more, you know, environmentally pleasing and so forth if they, and for some reason it's hard to get over it's hard to put over to them the, you know, the economic benefits of having the small miner and the big, you know, the things that they've accomplished. And of course, a lot of the people that work for the government, they have their salaries, you know, secure, guaranteed. And I don't know. You asked me, what was the original question? I've even
well, I think you've come along quite a ways on it, Tom. But the question was, why does there seem to be support for the large mining ventures? And like you say, they kind of want to eliminate the small ones.
Well, the governments, you see, they want to take, they want to have revenue coming into their coffers. The state is taking in the money from the oil leases on, you know, on the slope and from Prudhoe Bay. And what they're trying to do is to turn, is to have to lease coal, lease the minerals, and then the state or federal coffers will get the funds from these, both from the lease fees and from royalties. And so they're trying to transfer, they're trying to make the same kind of thing that they've got going with oil applicable to the other minerals.
Right. Okay, our follow-up question is for those fish and game people that wanted to wipe out the small miners, what did they propose that those people do to earn their bread and their water? What did they think that those people were going to do?
You mean the small miners that would be wiped out?
Right. Were they?
Well,
were we all supposed to get government positions?
Well, apparently that. Well, it doesn't make sense. See, that's what I'm saying. Is that that's what they contend. They have their jobs secure, you know, and so that they can't empathize with someone out there trying to make a living.
Right,
gold mining or other endeavors.
It seems so strange and so odd that the bureaucrats would desire to wipe out this frontier spirit that you're talking about, the independent people that are trying to make it on their own. And
ever since I've been here, it's been going in that direction. I can only presume that it will, you know, continue, in which just look at the environmental restraints that has been put on it. The placer mining is having to practically close down because of the not being able to meet the environmental regulations that's been put forward, and you have things like down Joe Usabelli down there putting in these scrubbers to scrub that water, you know, in the pits, and then making it almost clean enough to drink, and then having to dump it back into that muddy Nenana River or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know, because what to me this is a waste of funds. I mean, there's so many, you know, legitimate environmental causes that are expensive to overcome, and we need to concentrate on those that are what I call that are really threats, and one of which is outside the city in the borough, we have lots of wells that are polluted or they're about to be polluted. The water tests show that they have detergent in them. And when this occurs, well, it's just the next step of having coliform. That's the kind of thing I think we need to concentrate on, is to clear up problems like that that pose a serious threat to health. Okay. Not to go out here and way out in the tulies, you know, and try to have the miners mine and come forth with water that is not degraded at all, you know. I just think that's unrealistic.
Well, exactly. See, we have Alyeska. They have been cited by DEC a number of times for problems down in Valdez. And for the most part, they don't even bother to respond. And, of course, they could always threaten to, you know, pull the purse string on us. So, I think their pollution problems are a lot worse than some dirt in the water.
You know, you've really brought up some great points here, and I want to thank you for talking to us here on Alaska Gold Trails. And Tom, and we got to look to taking care of some of our responsibilities here with our sponsors. And thank you very much for the call, sir.
Bye.
I've spoke to this sponsor a number of times, and we have often inquired as to where the miners sell their gold, and perhaps at this stage of the game, everyone knows that they sell it to the precious metals people. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal and gift investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver. Listen to this. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar, these 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And listen to this super idea. 1 ounce pure silver rounds priced at 95 cents over the daily quote. And you know how to get the daily quote. You call Oxford's quote line 452-7858. That's 452-7858. And you get the quote. And then you can compute what those pure silver rounds will cost you, 95 cents over the daily quote. The 1987 American Gold Eagles are now available with four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin. Add a 14-karat gold bezel with a chain, and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, available in all sizes, starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection, starting at just $28.50 a penny weight. Give gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver, now available from the precious metals people, Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. You want some more information on those precious metals? Call them at 456-3967. And now a message from Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or a big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And by the way, folks, that's not just my opinion. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, with that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center, and if you need an IM inspection, Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicles ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater antifreeze, check
gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. Keep in mind, with this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box, 456-6156. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. Another fine sponsor of Alaska Gold Trails is B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. It's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, I've said this many times before. That's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their number is 452-6491. They're open from 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. We're here on Alaska Gold Trails with Tom Snapp, ladies and gentlemen. And if you'd like to give us a call and ask Tom a few questions, the number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Tom, tell us about your introduction to the News Miner staff then.
Well, I began work there during that summer, and I was planning to go back to school that fall, but I became so entwined in stories that by that fall, they were asking me if I would postpone and go back to school at the second semester. And what decided the question was Mr. Cerny was leaving the News Miner, and he had been the Time, Life, and Sports Illustrated correspondent, and the bureau chief came up from San Francisco, and he and Mr. Cernick had recommended that the correspondency be given to me. Of course, it wouldn't work for me to take it and then stop, you know, in a month or two. So I reluctantly agreed to go back to school the second semester. And in the second semester, I was more entwined than I was the first semester. So that's how, and I stayed then there at the News Miner for about 2 years, and then I helped start the Thunder Times.
That was the Thunder Times. Was that with Howard Rock?
Yes, uh-huh. And I put in for the grant for the Thunder Times, and we got the grant. We started that paper, Indian Eskimo Aleut paper, and it's going. It's been going ever since. And
Well, how long did you work for the News Miner then? Was that
about 2 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then how long did it take you to develop or start and develop the Thunder Times?
Well, we started the Thunder Times on October 1, 1962. And the lead story was, which I wrote, was the Secretary of the Interior, Stuart Udall, came to Fairbanks speaking to the Chamber of Commerce, and he promised that the historic native land claims would be settled was the number one problem to be settled. Right here's a copy of that first paper, that first Thunder Times paper. And you'll see there it's got Mr. Seeliger, who I think was president of the chamber then, introducing the Secretary of the Interior, Stuart Udall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I worked with Howard for 1 year, and I trained him in all phases of journalism. And then I went back to school for 9 months, and then I came back and became editor of Jessen's Weekly.
And where did you go to school, Tom?
It's University of Missouri, Graduate mm-hmm. School of Journalism.
And then you came back with Mr. Jessen at Jessen's Weekly.
Yes, uh-huh. And I was editor of Jessen's Weekly then. I was editor during the flood. I mean, from that time, from 1964 to the 1967, and 1967 we had the flood. The plant over there was under about 6 or 7 foot of water, mm-hmm. and those linotype machines were just sort of rusted in place, mm-hmm. and the whole plant had to be redone over, and we got a SBA loan, and then they figured that the loan was so large we'd have to go daily to bring in the revenues to pay the loan, and so we went daily then, and then in a month or so we went Sunday, and I was editor of the first Sunday paper. One time I was editor of a weekly, daily, and Sunday. I was meeting myself coming back.
Tom, we'd like to hear more about this involvement with Jessen's Weekly right after these announcements. Hardworking miners need hardworking equipment. You'll get the equipment and service you need at Georgia Saw Shop at 520 Church Street, right next to the Daily News Miner building in the old historic Rose Building. Space heater repairs are done. And, of course, they have parts for any engines. Georgia Saw Shop has a complete line of parts for Briggs and Stratton, Tecumseh, Wisconsin, Kohler, and others. Nearly any engine used around the home, farm, mine, or for industrial use. Georgia Saw Shop also sells replacement engines for all of the above. Chainsaws, George says, we sell the best and service the rest. That's Georgia Saw Shop. Get a new Husqvarna, Solo, or Poulin. And they also have chainsaw service. Bring in your chainsaw for a tune-up and cleaning, complete repair, and or sharpening of the chain. Georgia Saw Shop services all brands and carries bars, chains, and accessories to fit any chainsaw. For top quality service and equipment, visit the business you can depend on. Visit Georgia Saw Shop next door to the News Miner building in the historic Rose Building. Open 8:30 to 5:30. Monday through Friday, and 9 to 1 on Saturday. And if you have questions, just call 452-2069 and ask for George, or, of course, his lovely wife and partner, Barbara. That's 452-2069. And while you're over there, pop your head in at Don's Barber Shop and say howdy. I'd like to talk a minute about some of our friends over at K&K Recycling. K&K Recycling at 8.5 mile on the old Richardson Highway is the leader in recycling in the Pacific Northwest. And I've told you before, folks, that I've known Bernie and Connie Carl for a number of years. And, of course, Bernie Carl of K&K is a former miner and believes that our natural resources must be preserved. Bernie has appeared in many schools throughout the area to explain the value to school children on the benefits of conservation and recycling. So if you have ferrous or non-ferrous metals, K&K is ready to buy and pay cash on the spot. Drop in, visit K&K Recycling at 8.5 mile on the old Richardson Highway and learn more about recycling, or call for daily quotes. Their phone number is 488-1409. Once again, 488-1409. That's K&K Recycling, 8.5 mile old Richardson Highway. They're open 8 to 5:30 Monday through Saturday. And keep in mind, this is a good place to sell your unwanted metals. And one more before we get back to Tom Snap, and a little comment right here that if you folks out there would like to have a question for Tom Snap, The number here is 479-8255. So give Tom a call and discuss some of the adventures that he's had and in Alaska since 1960 in journalism. Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, has been serving Alaska for many years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service, Flocculence. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available for you plaster miners. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. They're located, once again, at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their phone number, 488-6432. Once again, their phone number is 488-6432. Tom, tell us about some of your adventures with Jessen's Weekly then, after you went to work for them, after the flood.
Oh, after the flood? Well, it was quite a ordeal trying to recover from the flood. I remember that. I worked for 6 weeks trying to save photographs, washing them and drying them and treating them with chemicals. And starting a daily paper, there was quite a lot to that. Also, the fact that the flood had done so much damage to our files, and oftentimes we'd try to come up with file pictures or information, you know, and it wouldn't be there because we had to throw it out. We had to sort of shovel out our files to the dump after the flood. Let's see. You're seeing interesting stories that I covered.
Let's have one there.
Well, one of the...
How about your most interesting story?
I think the most interesting story is the one that has been put out that I covered in... That was when I was with a news miner. It was a Kentucky tourist, William Waters, who was lost in wilderness up above, up in Charlie River country. And he was a retired railroad worker, and he had come to Alaska, and he liked to fish very much. He'd fished a lot in Canada, and he went up to Circle City, and he parked his car there at Circle, and he started fishing, and he disappeared, and he was turned in. He didn't, no one had seen him, and his car was sitting there for such a long time, and the police made an investigation. They got bloodhounds. They thought that he had gone out in the water and drowned. And I was covering the police beat then, and I had talked to some news miner pressmen who had been up there at the very time that he disappeared, and they believed that he had wandered off further and hadn't drowned at this place where they had been searching, because they had found a lean-to where it had Lucky Strike cigarette package, and it was the kind of brand that he smoked. Anyway, this man was lost. He started out for the foothills, and it took him 3 days to get there. And in the meantime, he ran out of water, and he started drinking out of chuck holes. And then he reached Birch Creek, and he started going down. He had read in a book that if you got lost, you should go south. And so he was following the Birch Creek South, which went for several hundred miles with hardly anything on it, real twisty. And as the summer wore off, as it became fall, well, then the temperature got colder, and the only thing he was eating was rose hips and berries. And they began to disappear and began to get cold. And finally he gave up that he had something like 17 matches or something like that. And he would build a fire, and then he would try to take pieces of the wood with the fire and build a fire a little more, you know, further down. Finally ran out of matches. It began to get cold. And he picked out a place with a sort of a decayed log and decided that it was his time had come. Luckily, some moose hunters from Fairbanks, Ray Casola, who had won the Yukon 800, and Millie Webb, well, and others were up there moose hunting, and Ray and Millie went by in a motorboat, and that gave him a lot of hope that he got down to the riverbank, but there was a lot of tall vegetation, and when they came back down the river, well, he tried to wave and attract their attention, but it was right at dusk, and they didn't see him and went by. So then he went back disgusted, thinking he had missed his only chance of being rescued. And the next day, they came by again, and that time, even though he had trench mouth and whatnot, he was able to wave them down. They got him. They brought him into the Hot Springs Resort. They gave him beer and some things to eat, which they probably shouldn't with him having trench mouth. But then they gave him a hot bath and water. He just barely could. It was so hot he could barely stand it. Then they put him to bed under and put 9 yarn blankets on him. And the next day they brought him into the hospital, St. Joseph Hospital in Fairbanks, and they couldn't find a temperature that would measure his temperature. I mean, it was below 92. His body, he had adapted to the, he made medical history because he had adapted to the cold. And he had lost over half his weight. He looked like someone had come out of a concentration camp. Well, now, the reason that that's the most amazing story that I covered is that I talked to him when he first came in the morning, and I asked him, these sisters won't let me come back unless you tell them that I'm to come back every night. And so he did. He told them that I was to come back every night. And so then, of course, later on that day, other reporters tried to get in. They had no permission, but I did. And so from there on out, for 4 or 5 weeks, I came every night. The most amazing thing to me about this story was, you know, you can go out and when you have a garden and you can think that you see that you can see the vegetables or things growing. But in this case, this man's appearance changed from day to day for about 10 days. Mm-hmm. And I took pictures of it, and it was the most amazing thing I think I'd ever covered.
Tom, thank you very much for that story. And I also want to thank you for sharing this time with us on Alaska Gold Trails. Thank you for coming.
You're very welcome.
I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program. Next week's guest is going to be Steve Weber, a well-known Alaskan placer miner. One little message before I leave, folks. You might like to know that the University of Alaska Mining Extension will be starting their rock and mineral identification class and their basic prospecting class on March 21st. If you'd like to have more information on these public service classes, why don't you give them a call? Their number is 474-7702. Or you can call me at 456-2569. Once again, the Rock and Mineral Identification class, this is for the beginner, begins March 21st. And also, the introductory basic prospecting class will start on the 21st. So if you would like to have more information on that University of Alaska Mining Extension program, give us a call at 474-7702 or 456-2569.
I've often made the statement, folks, if you don't like these classes, you don't like chicken on Sunday. So give it a try. You'll love it, I promise. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, folks, happy prospecting.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. The Iran-Contra scandal's back in the news. Former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane has pleaded guilty to four counts of withholding information from Congress. In exchange for those misdemeanor charges, McFarlane's assured the Iran-Contra Independent Counsel that he'll testify if need be. More from ABC's Vic Ratner.